Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on April 26th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Joe. It's good to be home. I'm unfortunately still on New York time. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. And you know, I laid in bed for about 15 minutes, hoping I could fall back asleep, but it wasn't happening. So I got up and I worked. I've been working for the last 4 hours, well, 3.5 hours, and
yeah,
amazingly, I caught up with everything. And so just before we got on the line this morning, I was actually watching funny cat videos. Just saying. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. One of the great uses of the internet.
You know, I know people make fun of it. I don't do it often. Occasionally when I come across something on Facebook, I'll watch them. But I was literally sitting here twiddling my thumbs and I was like, let me find some funny cat videos. And it made me laugh.
Yeah.
It made me laugh, which by the way, I think is, oh, by the way, my voice is I'm a little hoarse. Yesterday I couldn't talk at all, but it's pretty much come back, but I should have warned you ahead of time. But anyway, the funny cat videos, it's a good segue into today's show.
It is an excellent segue. And I have to say, you know, there are many different aspects to this, the care and the rehabilitation of animals and the business of the rehabilitation and care of animals. But there are also aspects to the marketing and the vision of this business. I'm very excited to share with our listeners. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Dr. Deborah Vulgaris and Dr. Amy Kramer from Beach Animal Rehabilitation Center. Now, after receiving her Bachelor of Arts degree from the State University of New York at Stony Brook and a Master's of Arts degree at the City University of New York at Hunter College, Dr. Deborah Vulgaris went on to earn her Doctorate of Veterinary Medicine from Ross University School of Veterinary Medicine. She is a seeker of effective, progressive, and non-invasive modalities that can help improve the lives of her patients. She has published numerous peer-reviewed articles and continues to teach and give lectures on veterinary pain management, acupuncture, rehabilitation, ozone therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and traditional Chinese medicine throughout the country. Now, Dr. Amy Kramer received her BA in physical education and recreation from Whittier College. She continued her education at Cerritos College, where she graduated with honors from the physical therapist assistant program in 1993. Dr. Amy went on to pursue her master's in physical therapy from Loma Linda University and earned her doctorate of physical therapy from Western University of Health Sciences appliances. Now, in the fall of 2004, Dr. Amy's personal dog had knee surgery and needed post-operative services. This sparked her interest in animal rehabilitation and thus prompted her to pursue a certificate in canine rehabilitation through the Canine Rehabilitation Institute. She was the brainchild behind the first veterinarian and physical therapist-owned rehabilitation clinic, California Animal Rehabilitation, and opened and ran that business before deciding to open a similar clinic in the South Bay after many requests from neighbors and South Bay veterinarians. In 2010, Doc honored by the South Bay Women of Distinction as Businesswoman of the Year. She spends extra time trying to help integrate the veterinary and physical therapy communities, getting them to recognize the benefit of combining their knowledge and expertise to improve outcomes. She has been applying skills she learned and used in the human world to the animals with tremendous success. Now, the Beach Animal Rehabilitation Center, BARC, is a specialty clinic specifically aimed at helping pets live longer, healthier lives by treating them using a holistic approach combining both Eastern and Western medicine techniques. Rehabilitation is performed by a combination of caring, qualified veterinarians, and physical therapists specifically certified in this growing field. Treatment can include acupuncture, physical therapy modalities such as laser, therapeutic ultrasound, manual therapies, as well as exercise, nutrition, supplements, and other state-of-the-art technologies designed to provide pain relief, aid in recovery, and provide overall improved functional mobility. Now, Joe, I just want to mention, I've never heard of this before. And, you know, one of the things I've been saying for the last 7 years that I love most about this show is that I learn something new every single show. So we're going to learn some more today. Dr. Amy, Dr. Deborah, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you. Thank you. It goes without saying that, animals are a big part of animal lovers' lives. Not everyone has a pet, but those people that do have pets consider them members of their family. And, of course, they need rehabilitation. They need care. My daughter's boxer, my wife and I just went to pick Leia. She's called Leia up. Mm-hmm. Princess Leia, we call her. And she had just been spayed, and she's been having a troubling and lingering bladder infection. So they thought that spaying her would help. This is part of a process of caring for Princess Leia. And, it's a wonderful business in many ways, but there's something special I have to ask you, though, to start off with. Doctor, who came up with the name BARC?
That I'm letting Dr. Kramer answer. It's all Amy on that one.
Okay.
It definitely was, that was my idea. I was trying to be somewhat creative when I came up with the name. Being as that we're near the beach, I thought, beach. So can we incorporate beach or South Bay or something? And it just sort of came to me. So, BARC it became.
Yes. It's great.
Perhaps that, great is an understatement of amazing, because Dr. Amy, I had a long and distinguished career as a software engineer and a web site developer, we spent long hours with other companies thinking about domain names and marketing campaigns. But if you just go to Google and type BARC, boom, up comes the Beach Animal Rehab Center. Just a four-letter, you've got a four-letter handle, and that's very rare. It's really cool. And
let me explain, doctors. Joe gets very, very excited about a good website address. He gets very excited about things like this. So it's high praise from him.
It's not good.
Thank you
so
much.
That that speaks about your concern and your deep care and your deep thinking about these issues. So tell us a little bit about why you first, Dr. Amy, got involved with veterinary medicine and veterinary science. What was your first inkling that this would be what you were going to do?
Well, I think as a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And the first time I saw a cat that had been hit by a car, I think I cried for 2 weeks straight about the cat. And my dad said to me, you know, honey, I think that you might need to rethink your career choice. So I was always active, and so I was involved in sports, and so I sort of gravitated in college towards the, you know, physical education, and then physical therapy was sort of, I was guided in that direction, and so it was great. But, you know, as an adult, I had a Rottweiler, and she had knee surgery, and right after that, the surgeon was super happy because she was walking, and I said, that's great, but her knee doesn't bend enough to get herself through the dog door. So now, at an inconvenience for me, I have to run home every, you know, couple times during the day from work to let her out to go to the bathroom because she couldn't get all that bend in her knee back. And I said, what do I do? And this surgeon, love him, said, well, you're a physical therapist. Do what you would do on a human. And I literally thought to myself, that's funny because I never knew dogs had knees. I didn't think about it. I studied human anatomy.
Now she knows all about knees.
I was like, really? Dogs have knees? This is cool. Okay. And I literally picked up a dog anatomy book on the way home and found that the joints are the same, the bones are the same, the ligaments are the same, the muscles are the same. It's all the same. It's just, you know, a different species. But let me work on my dog as if she was a human. A week and a half later, she was going through the dog door without an issue. And I said, why is no one doing this?
This is amazing. Now, because I'm picturing, when you said that, when I had a knee injury and I went into physical therapy and you lay on the thing and they move your knee, they do things to it, they have you do X. So is that what you did with your dog?
Well, I didn't exactly put her up on a treatment table. I laid on the floor with her and, fed her treats while also trying to massage her leg and do some joint mobilizations on her knee and get her patella moving. And, you know, I just did what I would do. And then I thought about, well, what are some exercises I can make her do? So I was having her, like, step over a couple things on the floor, and then I was having her crawl under something and, you know, all these things to try to get her to get that knee range of motion back, and it worked.
Wow.
Right, right.
Wow.
It sounds like that magical combination of two concepts, pets, animals, and rehabilitation, that can really be magical. I mean, obviously, it's very popular in the wildlife management community to think of rehabilitation, because animals get, you know, whether it's animals that are involved in oil spills, or, you know, the public is used to seeing these kinds of images of, you know, waterfowl being rehabilitated from their encounter with oil spills and things like that. But pets, the members of our family, for those that have pets, and rehabilitation, that's a new concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's very interesting.
So, you know, with wildlife, you know, they have to be able to function on their own, otherwise they die. And I think that that's where it is, because the goal with wildlife is to get them back out into the wild and, you know, live their life and hopefully survive. And, you know, so it becomes this, you know, imperative where you have to really get them to be optimally functional. Otherwise, that's it for them. So I think that that's why, you know, there's always been this push for that. And, you know, pets traditionally have been looked at a little bit differently. And, you know, that hopefully when they're with, a family that loves them, you know, you kind of take, you know, up for them. When they can't do something, you're helping them do it. You know, and so this has been over the last 10 years or so, you know, more of an issue, more of a thing in the veterinary community, where now we're looking at pets for rehabilitation. So it's been amazing.
And Dr. Deborah, I do want to ask you the same question. I mean, what were your earliest recollections of how and why you thought veterinary science, veterinary career was a good thing for you?
Yeah. So I went to vet school a little bit later in life. I kind of knew that I wanted to go into medicine, and it was sort of like what you were saying, this magical, you know, these components that came together. I knew I wanted to be in medicine. I was always into dance and sports and things like that. I was interested, funny enough, in physical therapy. I was thinking about that for a while before, and I was also thinking of human med school, but I had always been dedicated to animals and animal rights and all of these things. And in the end, I made this decision where all of those things came together. It was a decision made in a moment that just kind of led me on the path to going to vet school. And I made this decision. I was in vet school within a few months and going forward. And then I did a residency at the University of Tennessee. And that is one of the only universities in the country that has a rehab department. So I kind of went there not knowing that much about rehab, knowing that I was interested and I'd heard about it. And I, you know, it was definitely something that sparked my interest. But when I got to the university, I was going into the department and I was peeking in and I was seeing what they were doing. And I was finding myself migrating toward the rehab department a lot. And, you know, and then I did rotations through it and I just loved it there. And I kind of knew, you know, during my residency that this is where I want to go. And I wasn't originally from California, but, you know, there was an advertisement, you know, for a rehab veterinarian. And that's how I met Amy. She was one of the owners at that facility. And so that's where we met in 2011. Yeah.
It's, there are a number of modalities that you offer, a number of services that you offer. But, of course, we want to hear the sort of the larger picture. So how would you describe, Dr. Deborah, how would you describe your typical patient, and how would you describe, you know, your facility to the person coming in?
Well, we have a broad range of patients that come in. We have puppies that come in. We have older dogs that come in and everything in the middle. We have mild lamenesses where, you know, people are coming to us saying, I'm seeing this intermittent lameness. I'm not sure what it is. And it's very, very subtle. And then we have patients that come in and they're paralyzed. They can't walk. We have some patients that are, you know, they're not able to walk in any of their legs. There's no function there at all. But typically, I would say we have, you know, maybe the older dog. The average dog is a little bit older. They're having trouble, you know, getting up. They're having trouble jumping up on the couch. You know, most people come to us and they say, we think it's arthritis. They're just not doing the same things that they used to do. And it's just old age, you know. And then we kind of go through, you know, an evaluation and we do all of these things. The facility that we have is brand new. It's beautiful. It's over 6,000 square feet dedicated to just rehab and integrative medicine. We have a gym. We have acupuncture rooms. We have evaluation rooms. We have an area just dedicated for cats. It's really very peaceful. It's, you know, spa music is playing. It's very peaceful. And that was something that was done on purpose. And Dr. Kramer really thought about this, where, you know, when a dog or a cat comes into a regular veterinary hospital, you know, they're very scared. You know, and part of that, we believe, it's very scary. And part of that is the smells, it's the sounds, it's all the other things that they're picking up on that are going on in the back room. We don't have any of those things happening at our place. It's a place of most of the animals that come to us enjoy coming to us. They love it. You know, by the, you know, the first time they might be a little scared, but by the second time they're wagging their tail coming in the door. So the way we do things, it is very deliberate that we do it differently and that it sounds different. The sounds are different. The smells are different. So all of that. And so people come to us and we do a rehab assessment where we're doing an evaluation from head to toe. We're taking measurements. We're looking at them from a neurologic perspective, from an orthopedic perspective, from a general health perspective. And then, you know, 90 minutes of talking and figuring out what's going on. We're detectives in the beginning. We're trying to figure out what's going on. And is that the only thing going on? A lot of people come to us, they think they know what's going on, but there's actually more than that going on. So that's what we do. And we come up with a plan and we talk about, you know, what we're going to do going forward. What's realistic for, this is very important for the guardian to have a realistic plan. you know, sometimes it's realistic to come 3 times a week and sometimes it's not. You know, some people want a home program. We teach them a home program. So it's really, the facility is beautiful. We have, you know, many acupuncture rooms and evaluation rooms and an underwater treadmill room. So people come in and it's just a very relaxed space. And that's what we do on the first evaluation. That's what we do, but we show people around so that they can get comfortable too, because we're going to be working with them. It's not a, you know, you don't come in one time and then we send you home. If you're coming in for rehab, it's a process typically. So we want people to be comfortable and we want the animals to be comfortable as well. So that's basically what we do. And, you know, we show everybody around so that they can be comfortable in the space and really know us, because they're going to get to know us. So that's basically the first thing, and that's the facility. The facility is beautiful. There's a gym, waiting room, a quiet area.
You know, it's amazing that, Joe, we have not learned of this facility yet. I got to imagine it's the only one of its kind in the South Bay, and you provide such an important, valuable service. I mean, we've all had pets that have had to have surgery or have had accidents. They might break a bone or, you know, get a fight with another animal or something. And you bring them to the vet and then you take them home and they're wearing that ridiculous cone that gets caught on everything. What an incredible service. This is so good to know. Joe, did you know about this? I didn't know about this.
No, and I think it's not just unique in the South Bay. I think it might be unique nationally, or at least in a very, very select category of veterinary science facilities that focus on the whole being of the pet and the guardian, as you call them. I mean, it's wonderful. It's just amazing.
Well, it's just like the human counterpart. You know, you go to the bone doctor, or you know, who are those guys I'm thinking of up at Curl and Job, whenever you tear something or you pull something, and you go in and they're like, well, it's a little tear. You really don't need surgery, but you should have some physical therapy, and then you go to the specialist. You know, I mean, I have my physical therapist right, you know, just in the area where I live, and so this is the same thing, only for your pets. Now,
well,
okay,
I'm gonna.
Oh, go ahead.
Jess. Well, I was going to ask a question, but also make a statement. Dr. Amy, when Dr. Deborah describes your facility, she describes it in the way that it is experienced both by the patients and by their owners. Now, this is something that medicine for human beings is woefully inadequate at.
Yes.
This is something that medicine for human beings has not achieved yet. How is it, Dr. Amy, that you are able to achieve this for our pets?
Well, I think definitely you're right on in terms of that being lacking in the human department of medicine. But, you know, I don't go to the doctor, you know, shaking and scared with someone, you know, with someone bringing me there. I'm going to the doctor willfully on my own. So, you know, I don't go into that already thinking, oh, God, what's going to happen to me now? And pets do. You know, pets are leaving their comfortable environment at their home, and they're being put in a car that maybe they don't go in very often. And, you know, usually when they go there to the vet, something bad happens. And they come home with, like you said, that silly cone around their head. And, you know, it goes from there. They're banging into walls and things like that. So I put myself really as to how do I want that pet to feel when it walks in the door? And the owner, because if the owner is not comfortable, they're not bringing that pet back. If, you know, if it's dirty, if it doesn't smell nice, if there's, you know, if it's not comfortable for the owner, they're not going to bring their pet back either. So if their pet is happy, if their pet comes in and instead of slipping around on a tile floor, they're able to actually walk because I've put in a good flooring surface that these compromised animals can actually walk on. If the dog comes in and they're happy and they're excited to see the employees that are here and the people that are working with them, that makes the owner feel so comfortable that they want to come back. I mean, I can't tell you how many owners have said to me, I want to work here. I don't want to bring my dog here. I want a job. Because it is such a great environment. It smells good. We've got, you know, lavender smells piped through so that, you know, it's calming already from that standpoint. There's spa music playing. You know, there isn't the urgency that you find in like a general practice because everyone's running around because there's a walk-in, because there's an emergency. There's this. It's very, very calming and very peaceful, which is not just great for the pets and the owners, but, man, it's great for the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So I have to ask. So I know that, Dr. Amy, you had opened another facility elsewhere before you opened the one in the South Bay. So how has the reception – because I'm going to guess that you get most of your referrals from other local veterinarians. So how has the reception been from the GPs in the area?
They've been very receptive. They're really the ones that pushed me to open something in the South Bay because, you know, this previous clinic was in West L.A., and while it's not that far from a mileage standpoint, it's hours.
Far. Yeah.
It's hours off of your life, you know? So they were the ones, they said, Dr. Kramer, we have so many clients for you. They don't want to drive north of the 105. I get it. So, you know, it was ideal to do something down here because there are so many pet owners here in the South Bay and so many pets, and they need the same kind of care. And it can't be something that's just special and only for, you know, the West Side. There's plenty of dogs to go around, let's say, for the rehab world.
Yeah.
We get clients that drive up from, you know, Huntington Beach, Seal Beach, San Pedro. I mean, they're because we're a specialty and if there isn't something close, they'll drive.
Well, as anybody that has spent any time in the South Bay, once you get in the bubble, you don't want to leave the bubble.
That is so true.
Our whole goal in life is never to have to get on a freeway, but that's besides. So it's good to know we have the service here.
I'm not surprised that many of your clients say, oh, well, I want to work here because of the environment that you're creating. Mm-hmm. I mean, it reminds me of the movie The Founder. There's a movie of several years ago called The Founder. It's about the establishment of McDonald's. And one of the things about it was McDonald's is often seen as a, you know, very boring, you know, burger place, but it was a revolutionary idea when it was founded in like 1950s. It was revolutionary. And people, they for the first several years, they never had to advertise. They never had to, ask for people to want to work there. They had stacks and stacks of resumes from people trying to work there because it was such a revolutionary idea. And, of course, they needed people. They were expanding, exploding. I love this as a business. I love this as a place to be.
Yeah, because it's all, you know why? It's all good stuff going on in there. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, you know, in regular general practitioner's office, you've got, you know, you have to euthanize pets sometimes, you know, the spaying and neutering, you know, the needles, and it's traumatic, but this is a place where good things are happening. Nobody's getting hurt, you know? Hey, Joe, let's do a quick station break because I got more questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and today we have with us Beach Animal Rehabilitation Center, BARC, B-A-R-C. It's quite an honor to have them, both Dr. Deborah Vulgaris and Dr. Amy Kramer. It's quite an honor because of the concept and the care that went into the total package of this business. And so we hope that if you have pets or if you know someone that has pets, you will share this show with them. Please do that. And also, if you are listening live and you have questions, we'd love to get your question or comment. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. Again, that phone number is area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. So, Jackie, you have more questions?
Yes, I have. I have several questions. We'll take our time and go through them. Now, from personal experience, I am still very physically active. A lot of sports, you know, contact stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, I've had my share of tears and sprains and stuff. And there have been times when doctors have recommended surgery and avoided surgery up till this point, just because I've been very aggressive with getting second and third opinions. And almost every time I've turned to physical therapy, and it's worked every time. I have not had to have surgery. So how does that work? Did you get a lot of veterinarians saying, you know, we may not need to do surgery here. You might want to just try physical therapy first. And if that, like, because I know that I'm not bad mouthing anybody, but there are a lot of doctors that want to just go in and cut open and see what's going, you know, that sort of thing. So how do you get that? Whereas somebody's recommending surgery and they're offering alternatives to that.
First of all, it depends on what it is. I mean, if it's really severe we typically don't recommend surgery, but it really does depend on what the issue is. And there are some situations where surgery is really the best option. However, in most cases, we can treat medically. And, you know, the thing is that I think that part of the education in vet school, I mean, I went through that, you're taught how to deal with the situation right then and there. And, you know, if you have something that's surgical, you know how to fix it and then it's done. But physical therapy, rehabilitation is a process. And
right.
Most veterinarians don't have the kind of time that is required to do what we do. You know, we are seeing, I mean, when a patient comes to us, we're sitting down for an hour and a half and going through everything in the body. And we're figuring out, you know, we're looking at the animal's disposition. We're looking at what kind of personality do they have? What is going to be best for them? What's going to be most realistic for them? You know, if they're jumping around the room and you can't contain them, you know, then maybe we have to figure out a different way, because we don't want them to hurt themselves because they have so much energy and they won't sit down for us. You know, so we actually have to figure out how it's going to work for that individual. So much of it is a process, and what we do is a process. You know, when you're dealing with something medically, like if you've had injuries, as you're saying, if you're going to physical therapy, you're not going for 10 minutes and then you're done. We're seeing our patients on a regular basis, and we are going through this process, and we're going through this with the owners, the guardians. And everyone understands after that first appointment, you know, this is going to be a process. Do you understand that? And typically they do, and they're on board and all of that. But, you know, a regular general practitioner does not have the time to do that. That's not how it's set up. And the way BARC has been set up, the way, you know, Dr. Kramer has set this up, and, you know, hopefully I've contributed to that, is that we are kind of doing a completely different model. This is a different model. You know, we're just doing this, and it's a process, and we're seeing these patients. So, you know, I think that that's a part of it. You know, in general practice, you have 15-minute appointments. You can't, you know, even if you have that first initial evaluation, you know, you're not scheduled enough to make a difference for something that is surgical if it's really something surgical, but we're opting for medical treatment and we're going to do medical management instead of surgery, you're going to have to be seeing this patient and doing the right kinds of therapy, the right kinds. Now, that's an important thing because going through and understanding how physical therapy, you know, works, physical rehabilitation works, there's a lot of people out there, and I will say, that really have not gone through the courses. They have not gotten the certifications, but they have a modality, like a laser, for example. Having a laser doesn't mean that you understand how to go through a physical therapy program with your patient. It's different. It's a modality that we're using for an outcome, but that's not all there is to physical therapy. So I think that that's a part of it. You know, they just don't have the time, and they're not, you know, rehab is a specialty. It's a specialty. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to, and it's a process. So
Doctor,
I think that,
you know,
that yeah.
I just want to point out that in so many different ways, you used the concept of time and process.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about process several times. You talked about time. You talked about relationship. These are things that are not even in place, human medicine. When now in med schools around the world, at the highest levels, researchers are trying to get the concept of time, the concept of process, and the concept of relationship in medicine, because research is showing that these components matter to the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's you're including this in the care and feeding or the care of our pets. This is cutting edge medical science. How is it that you're able to do this? I don't understand it.
You know, you have to, how would you want to be treated if you were ill? How would you want to be treated if you were in pain and you couldn't tell anybody? So that's the approach we take. You know, we try to, you know, we can't, you know, think the way a dog thinks, but we can try to. You know, and sort of just get a feel for what's going on. And, you know, Dr. Kramer has been working, you know, with you know, pets for so long, as have I. You start to get a feel for who's really, you know, having a hard time, who's in pain, who is, you really do start getting a feel for it. So I think that that's the approach. Part of it is just, you know, being able to, you know, err on the side of, you know, they're having a hard time, and what are we going to do about it? And what would you want done about it?
You know, this
Dr. Kramer.
This just made me think. It's making me laugh. It's killing me at the same time. Is how many people I know, and sorry, Joe, but it's 99.9% of the time it's men who go and they have a rotator cuff surgery or something, and they maybe do one or two appointments with the physical therapist, and then they give it up or they don't go at all, you know, and 6 months later, they're still moaning and groaning about it. And I say, well, did you do your physical therapy? Well, no, I had the surgery. I'm like, you still got to do the physical therapy, you know, and it just, it makes me crazy that, That's all I want to say.
Well, Dr. Kramer, I have to ask though, but I mean, when I hear Dr. Vulgaris talk about the
Dr. Amy and Dr.
way
Debra.
In which when I hear Dr. Debra talk about the care and the way in which you approach a patient, and it's and you know, the patient might be amenable to several modalities, but you have to consider the patient and their energy levels and their mobility needs and so forth. If only there was a we have actually talked to rehabilitation centers for human beings that have this similar ethic and this similar sort of whole being methodology. And it's considered, you know, like it's lauded as one of the greatest, you know, innovations in physical therapy around the world. This is the same thing what you're doing for pets. How is that possible, Dr. Amy? And when can people invest in BARC? When are you going to have an ICO or an IPO?
Well, I will say back to your original comment a minute ago is I think the whole idea behind insurance dictating practice is what has really changed healthcare in the human world. And I've seen that because I have been a human PT for so many years when the HMOs came along and this and that. And so insurance dictating practice has really limited, I think, a physical therapist practice and even a doctor's practice to where they can't provide the same kind of thing that we're doing here, because we're not driven by insurance and managed care and all that stuff. So that is one thing. And when you mentioned that, Jackie, about the humans, as a human physical therapist, they'd come in, they'd see me, they wouldn't follow up with their home exercises, they wouldn't do what I asked them to do, they would come in and expect me to fix them in one or two or three visits, whatever the insurance allowed me. And it wouldn't work. And they'd come back 6 months later, and I'd say, well, did you follow up with your home exercises? Oh, no, I didn't do that. And when I started working with animals, I swear it was such a breath of fresh air, because we give a home program to the pets, just like I gave to my human clients. My pet owners do their pets' exercises like clockwork, and the results show. Because it's not expected. In the human world, you expect. I have insurance, it's my right, and I expect you to fix me. Owners come in with their pet saying, I don't know if there's anything you can do, but I just want to be able to do something. And they do it, and they follow through, and the results show. We had this lady bring her 13-year-old lab in, who was suffering from pretty severe arthritis and really having a hard time, couldn't get up from the floor without assistance. And she came in and said to me, I've had this dog longer than I've had my children, and if there's anything we can do to just help her be comfortable, I know you can't make her a puppy again, but whatever we can do to make her comfortable. And that dog now no longer wears a harness to help get her up. She comes in the door trotting, an arthritic trot, wow, that she's trotting, and the owners are thrilled to death. And it's not just about what we did here. Yes, that's a huge part of it, but it's about what they did also. They're doing the stretches. They're doing the home program, and it works.
Okay,
and so that's why we keep doing it.
Admit it, Dr. Amy, those PT patients that didn't come back, they were mostly men, right? Right?
Their tolerance level is a little less.
Okay, she's being diplomatic. I appreciate that. She's being very diplomatic. I appreciate that. Very, very professional.
We don't see that in the dog world. Dogs, boys and girl dogs are all the same in terms of that.
That's good to know. That's good to know. So I mentioned in the intro that you also incorporate nutrition into your whole. What did you call it? The whole kit and caboodle thing,
being,
right? The whole being.
It's not just the movement, but it's what goes garbage in, garbage out.
That's right.
I have to ask you. So I've been seeing a lot lately, and I have been a dog owner. We lost our last one 2 years ago, and we're waiting to remodel before we get a new one. but I've been seeing a lot lately about dogs and cats, I guess, in particular, the raw food. What would you call it? The raw food movement for pets, which makes absolute sense to me. Can you talk about that a little bit? I don't know who would, Dr. Amy, Dr. Deborah?
Yeah.
Who wants to take it?
Yeah, I can take it. Raw food, I mean, there's a history of that, and it makes a lot of sense. It's considered a biologically appropriate diet. And I think that, it's, as a veterinarian, I can tell you that, there are certain things that we're supposed to not recommend. and the reason for that is the foodborne illness potential. When you have raw food, they have often bacteria in it. But having said that, in my opinion, and I'm going to just give my opinion here, I don't think that it's any worse than you know, making yourself chicken cutlets for dinner. You have to wash your hands. You have to be careful. I do know personally many, many dogs and cats that do that thrive on that diet, and they can do very, very well on that diet. But it is not recommended for everyone. If there are children in the house, if there are people that have immune compromise, there is concern about potential illness. So that is one of the reasons why it's not always recommended. But I do think that because it is so close to, you know, they call it an ancestral diet, and you know, biologically
right,
appropriate
right.
diet, and I do think that you know, is they can thrive on it. I've seen dogs and cats thrive on that diet. And when we're, you know, I talk about nutrition a lot, and my thing is get away from the processed foods. I think that is really hurting our animals. It really is. I mean, a lot of the stuff that's out there has been traditionally really bad. And we're seeing a lot of chronic disease. You know, we're seeing like cancer is through the roof in dogs over 10, you know, more than half of dogs over 10 have cancers or will have cancer. And there's, I think, you know, and other endocrine issues and all of these things. And, you know, so what we're trying to do is move animals away from inflammation, away from things that could potentially be contributing to that. You know, I mean, all of the diseases that we're seeing are inflammatory diseases. You know, arthritis is an inflammatory disease. You know, cancer is you know, the ultimate inflammatory disease. And we're seeing a lot of Cushing's disease, and we're seeing, you know, it's just anything, you know, a lot of ruptures of ligaments. These things are, you know, how does it happen that we have, you know, yes, there's a genetic basis, there's a dietary basis, there's over vaccinations. That's definitely a concern in the holistic world. So, you know, we're trying to move animals, in things that we can control, and what we can control are things like diet. And so, you know, we are always trying. Whenever I get people in that room, that initial evaluation, if they're open to it, you know, some people are, you know, they kind of like where they are, and I kind of see where they are, and I'll suggest small things if I don't feel like they want to make any big changes. But I will make big changes if the owners are open to that. And that is moving mm-hmm. away from kibble and moving away from, you know, anything that's processed. So that's the first thing. And then if they want to go into the direction of raw, we can talk about that for sure. And I do think that, it is a biologically appropriate diet, but there are also other options. You know, we do a lot of home cooking. We have, you know, mm-hmm. anything that is not, I mean, they will thrive on that. A dog that's been on kibble their whole life, and then you move them to, you know, something that's not processed, something that's vegetables and protein and, you know, real food that you would eat, they start to do better. Their allergies start to get better. You know, their coat gets shinier. They have an easier movement, you know, because the inflammation load in their body goes down. And
everything you just said,
through research. Yeah.
Everything you just said is the same with humans. Get away from
Absolutely.
The process. That's what's causing
Absolutely.
So many of our problems.
Yes.
So if my husband and I, if I'm going to grill a couple of steaks with baked potatoes, I can do an additional serving for my dog. Nothing
you
wrong.
You can. I mean, you can, but if you are going to home cook, which I think is wonderful, it would be a good thing to talk to a veterinarian just to make sure that it's a balanced diet, first of all. And secondly, that there are no things like onions and other things that can be
right,
toxin
right.
to dogs.
Right. Yeah,
but
no.
I think that home cooking, balanced. Yeah, but if you wanted to give a piece of something that you made for dinner, no, why not? Sure. We're all for that.
We've always done that because we had a great vet that told us that, you know, potatoes are great for dogs' coats and skin,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so we got in the habit for many, many years. Actually, it's weird because we haven't had a dog in a couple of years and I still do it. When I make a baked potato, we would eat the inside and leave the skins for the dogs.
Great.
You know,
great.
Yeah. So it's become a habit. And people say to me, why don't you eat the skin? I'm like, oh, okay, I can. But, yeah, no, there was a certain rice we used to feed our dogs. And but we would always feed our dogs any leftovers, as you said, nothing with wasabi or onion or, you
right.
know, herbs and stuff that would annoy them. But yeah, I'm seeing a lot about it. I even heard something so far. Somebody was telling me about raw chicken, and bones, and I was like, that's the one thing you should never give your dog is a chicken bone. But somebody was telling me that, yeah, it's, you know, it's okay. And I'm like, nah, I wouldn't do that, you know. But
yeah.
I know that some animals eat bones. I know that hyenas eat bones and stuff like that. But
yeah,
that's really interesting. So yeah, everybody, talk to your animal caregivers about getting your pets on a healthier diet. Same with us.
Mm-hmm.
Same with us.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say, Joe? Garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yep.
Garbage in, garbage out. Of course, Dr. Amy, I am a urban farmer. I grow microgreens. And I am very, very, very aware of all of these things that you're talking about. Forks over knives, the famous documentary that began the movement, and now there are many other documentaries and movement movies that try to help people to do what I do, which is a whole foods plant-based diet for myself.
Yay! It's wonderful. And let me just say,
yeah,
that,
it's not,
you know,
vegan, it's not vegetarian, it's whole food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. And dogs do very, very well on a plant-based diet as well. They can. It has to be balanced, and it has to be done right. It can do well, very, very well. They can thrive on that. But if nothing else, vegetables are great for dogs and cats. You know, even as a snack.
Right.
I mean, it has lots of antioxidants. It's wonderful for them.
Isn't it?
Right.
You know, I've noticed over the years that dogs that are fed processed food, kibble, cam, whatever, a lot of times you'll see them eating either grass or leaves or, you know, flowers and stuff. And isn't that their biological self telling them you need greens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need plants.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. It could also be sometimes we think that it's a number of things, definitely that they want some greens. Sometimes their stomach is hurting them. And most of the time, that's a dog that's been on kibble or has some sort of gastritis. You know, in Chinese medicine, we say they're putting out the stomach fire. So it could be a number of reasons why they're eating grass. But definitely, you know, moving away from the processed stuff seems to help with that in many cases.
Mm-hmm. This is so important.
Well, we can mention the part, too, that a lot of dogs that are on a processed food diet – if you ever read the bag that it says for your, you know, 100-pound or 80-pound dog, you're supposed to feed that dog, you know, 6 cups of kibble twice a day. Well, I have an 80-pound dog. She gets, you know, 3/4 of a cup of kibble with added whole foods, you know, twice a day. So when I think about the amount of processed food that they're trying to get you to feed your pet is going to just lead to an obesity problem in pets, which is definitely out there just like it is in humans. And
from that
problem, we then get cruciate ruptures, so they tear ligaments in their knees. Their arthritis is worse because they're carrying around all that weight. And so a big part of what we do, too, is try to get these dogs to lose weight because of the issue that it or the effect it has on all their joints and everything else. So that is exactly the same as it is in humans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
This is so important. This is just
improve,
such important.
I think this show could improve human health. If people listen to this and they think, wow, I want a doctor for myself that treats me the same way that Bark treats animals, they will have a better opportunity to choose the proper health practitioner for them if they just look for someone that treats.
Well,
so
it's
there
true.
You go.
It's true. Well, it's true. You know, I would imagine that there are plenty of pet owners out there, the ones that are bringing their pets to Bark. You know, they obviously love and care for their pet, and they're taking good care of them, but maybe they're not taking as good care of themselves. I'm sure there are a few of those people, too. You know, they'll get the best for their animal, but maybe not necessarily think of themselves. Okay, so I have a $64,000 question here. Now you work mostly with dogs and cats. Now, can this what you're doing with rehabilitation, monkeys, lizards,
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. We've worked with, bunnies. I've worked with alpaca. When I was at the university, I worked with not only horses, of course, I worked a lot with horses, pigs, alpacas, camels, cows, you name it. Yeah.
Wow.
And I have friends that, I have a friend that works with exotics. She works with, you know, tigers and bears and monkeys and everybody.
Wow. That has to be a whole special skill set, working with tigers. Wow.
I'm not sure exactly how she does it, but she does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
They get
I'm
arthritis
sure
too. Sure.
I'm sure there's a big muzzle involved.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, Joe, how much did we learn today?
Yes. A ton, but I have to say the word that comes to mind most about this show and about what BARC does is integrative. Integrative. Mm-hmm. It isn't about the one thing. It's about the whole. And how you can look at someone, a patient, in this case an animal, and you can see a whole person, a whole being that needs, you know, nutrition care, that needs maybe joint rehabilitation, that needs, you know, some level of social lifestyle care. If you can settle into making those recommendations, the patient will recover naturally, because our bodies are designed to heal themselves. We just have these humans, doctors, that help us find the path, but often we don't have the right humans, doctors, helping us find the path towards our own bodies healing themselves. Now,
I like it.
Dr. Amy and Dr. Deborah are doing that for our pets. It's fantastic.
I like, and just for the record, I want to say I have the most incredible medical team. I love my doctors. All right. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying bad things, but I love my doctors. I love my dermatologist and my general practitioner. I love everybody. They're great. I have the best.
Don't
team
forget
of
your chiropractor. Oh
my
God.
Chiropractor. I couldn't live without him. Forget about that. Yeah.
Right.
No.
No.
Dr. Cohen, the man. Okay. So, yeah, we all know. I have a special relationship with my chiropractor. He knows my body better than I do. Anyway, give us your location, your contact information, your website address, your phone number. Let people know how they can get in touch with the Beach Animal Rehabilitation Center, affectionately known as BARC with a C.
So we're located at 18837 Hawthorne Boulevard. We're really close to Hawthorne and 190th, so we are in the city of Torrance, North Torrance, South Redondo Beach. Our phone number is 310-542-2727, and we have a website. It's beachanimalrehab.com. We also have a Facebook and an Instagram page where we place lots of videos, lots of pictures and lots of videos of pets when they first come to us and we're initially assessing them and they can't walk to, you know, looking at them 4 to 6 weeks later when they're running across the clinic floor. So our Instagram page and Facebook page have a lot of great videos of success stories.
Befores and afters. I love that.
What is your Instagram handle?
It's Beach Animal Rehab.
Beach Animal Rehab. And that's the website, beachanimalrehabilitation.com. Or is it rehab.com?
All right.
It's beachanimalrehab.com.
.com. Okay. All right. All right.
And
well,
if you're having trouble finding it, just go to Google and type in BARC, B-A-R-C. And Uncle Google will get you to the right place.
I love it. All right. Let's wrap it up, Jill.
Well, what an amazing show, ladies and gentlemen. We often talk about, Jackie and I, about the South Bay having some of the finest minds the finest people, the finest restaurants, the finest chefs, the finest this and that and this and that. But to have such an integrative health practitioner for animals is truly special. Dr. Deborah Bulgaris, Dr. Amy Crane, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It was great.
It was. Thank you. What a great show. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, when in need, when you think you will be happy, you could be happy or you could be slightly annoyed, just bark.
Well done.
Thanks, everybody.